In 2008, some of you will remember that a group of us from the church went on a mission trip to South Africa. We started in the Cape, ministering in very poor communities, at schools, at churches, involved in feeding schemes, and so on. The response to the gospel was tremendous. But one afternoon, after ministering for days on end, I said to the team one afternoon, let's take the afternoon off and go on a little tour. And we decided to do a little tour of the beautiful vineyards of the Cape. Beautiful vineyards. As far as the eye could see, there were rows and rows of grapevines. We toured later the wine press and were taught the process of planting and watering and pruning and picking and making wine. It was all very, very, very interesting. I have since discovered that the same industry was also vital to Israel's economy in the Bible days. Everybody knew about growing grapes. And so one day, Jesus used this picture to describe the people and their relationship to him and to their Heavenly Father. And today we are going to look at the same picture to see how we fit in, friends. But first, let me ask you some questions. Have you known the agony of not doing the right thing? Have you ever thought, I ought to do this or that only to forget about it? Have you ever promised yourself that you will never say something or do something only to blurt it out and do it anyway? Have you ever thought, I can't change, I'll always act this way? Have you ever fallen into the trap of comparing yourself with someone else? Have you ever thought, at least I'm not like that fellow down the road? Have you ever consoled yourself about your failures and your shortcomings by making a list of the obvious sins of other people? In the middle of comparing yourself to others, have you ever thrown your hands up and said in despair, I'm really no good, I don't measure up? If you said yes to any of these questions, then know this, friends. Left to ourselves, we cannot make all the changes we need to make. On our own, we cannot do the things we should do. Let's face it, our lives are beyond our control. Without help, we usually will fail to do the right thing. But you are not alone. I am not alone. Because God's people have not changed in thousands of years. In fact, the prophets described the people of their time as grapevines gone wild. Instead of living out their faith, producing fruit of righteous attitudes and actions, the people produced hypocrisy, greed, and all kinds of evil. Let's look at what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. He said, I will sing to the one I love a song about his great vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up, he cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out the wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. The New King James Version says, but it yielded wild grapes. Jeremiah comes along now. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. And he prophesies the word of God, in which God said, I have planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? The King James says, into a degenerate plant of an alien vine. How did this happen? Friends, I said it earlier that the people of God were viewed in the Old Testament as bad fruit, wild grapes, or vineyard grapevines gone wild. But then Jesus came with a new message. He came with a new message about God's grapevine. And we're going to look at our text today, which is in John chapter 15, verse 8, 1 to 8. Jesus speaking said, I am the vine. You see that? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Friends, Jesus identifies himself as the true vine. The Father is the gardener or the vine dresser, and we are the branches. Yeah, some facts about grapes and grapevines. Grapevines, if left alone, would rather produce shoots and leaves than grapes. They end up looking luscious and green, but ultimately they only are good for making decorations. The grapes on these lusciously green leafy vines, the grapes are so small they are dried for raisins. Grapevines must be pruned radically. The gardener must be merciless, cutting them back each year as far as he possibly can. Branches with no fruit must be removed so that they don't draw nutrients away from the grapes. Fruitful branches must be pruned back to produce even more grapes. Helen and I were in Germany last year, and we lived with my friend, and he was on the one side of the valley, and we looked out of his window every day to the other side of the valley, and there were just rows and rows and rows of grapevines. Now, knowing what we know about grapes and grapevines, knowing this, we learn, friends, that the message from Jesus today pertains to us and it gives us hope. Why? The message from Jesus tells us that God doesn't want to leave us on our own. He wants to be the gardener who cares about us, who cares for us and makes us fruitful. What Jesus said tells us that God can do in us and through us more than we can do on our own. It tells us that God will make us more and more fruitful, which will be seen in our righteous attitudes and actions. It tells us that Jesus himself will live in us and God will answer our prayers as we learn to put the Bible into practice. Friends, these words also that Jesus spoke also challenges us to live a new kind of life. Therefore, we can no longer make excuses for our past failures and shortcomings. We won't be able to say now that I can't do this or that. Instead, we will be able to say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus gives us strength to change, and God can lovingly nurture us by cutting away, by removing all the things in our lives that are not fruitful. God longs for us to come to him so that he can prune our lives. But let me say something, friends. I want you to remember this, that pruning is not punishment. Pruning is not punishment. How does Jesus give us the strength to change? And how do we give God permission to prune us? And so we do so by abiding in Christ. Another version says, by remaining in Christ. Friends, this is what our passage is about this morning. God is a great gardener. And Christ is the most excellent vine, and he wants us to abide in it so that we can produce good fruit. Abiding and bearing are the two themes, interwoven themes, we are going to look closely at today. The two themes are closely related because it's only when we abide in Christ that we can bear fruit. Listen, it's only in abiding in Christ that we can bear fruit. If we do not abide in Christ, we cannot bear fruit. And therefore, according to Jesus' words, we will be cut off from the vine. I know many people who try to do it the other way. They try to bear fruit, but want nothing to do with the vine. So what does Jesus teach us? In verse 4, he says there, abide in me and I in you. Did you know that the word abide occurs no less than 10 times in this chapter? In answering the question, how do we make this abiding process happen? And Jesus gives us the clues himself. Number one is this, we need to feed ourselves with the word of God. We need to feed ourselves with the word of God. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, the words of Jesus is life, friends. And look at Psalm 119, verse 50. The psalmist says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Do you see that, friends? The word of God, they are the sap that flows from the root through the vine to the branches, bringing life into us, friends. Let's look at Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. We'll just leave the scriptures up, and we will just do a few scriptures now. In Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. 1, 2, 3, 2 and 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, in the law of the Lord. And on his law, this man meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And we'll come to another verse. Just give me a half a minute. In order, friends, to abide, in order to remain, friends, we need to feed ourselves on the word of God. It means that we must allow his word to dwell in us richly. We must allow those words to saturate our lives as we spend time meditating and reading and memorizing the word of God. Listen what Joshua said in Joshua 1 verse 8. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Paul came along in Colossians 3 verse 16, and Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Friends, isn't the word of God wonderful? I know you love these verses. The branch cannot bear fruit unless it gains all its nutrients, all its minerals, all its support from the vine. Too many of us take our relationship with Jesus for granted. We fail to appropriate the rich reservoir of resources that are available to those who gain a deeper spiritual overflow of his life into ours. We need to feed ourselves, friends, with the word of God, the nutrients that come through Jesus into us, that come through the vine into the branches. Do you know that Matthew 4 verse 4 and Luke 4 verse 4 says the same thing? You know what it says? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You got it, friends? Amen. Secondly, we need to feed ourselves with an active prayer life. You've got to be praying, friends. Jesus had just finished talk about what followed, about abiding in God's word. And then in verse 7, he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask." Do you see that? Asking is called prayer. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. In order to abide, we need to have an active prayer life. And number three, we also need to feed ourselves by showing love to other people. You say, what? Okay, we'll back it up. We'll back it up with the word. Verse 8. Jesus says, This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And how do you show yourself to be a disciple of God? Listen to what verse 9, 10, 11, and 12 says. Jesus said, I'll tell you, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I was just saying, nowadays Christians are attacking other Christians, left, right, and center. I get shocked when I hear how this person is mad with me. And I'm trying to think, where and why? But you know what, friends? We need to love one another, because it's a sign that you are abiding in Christ. You are connected to the vine, and that you are producing fruit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. So, well, I can't stand you. Well, that's just you're a withered branch. It's not on your verse, but you know John 13, verse 35. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? If you have love one for the other. Praise the Lord. In our passage that Ellie put on the screen here and Ross put on the screen, in verse 10 it says, if you keep my commandments, my word, you will abide in my love. This gets beyond knowing the word and just taking it in. This is a critical complement, without which all the knowledge is essentially not enough. We must live it out, friends. We must live it out, friends. Bible study is of great value, but our lives are not to be libraries. Our lives are to be laboratories of love. Do you see that? Do you know, I was reading that in Hampton Court near London, Val probably knows that, and Barbara, in Hampton Court near London, there is a grapevine that is 252 years old. It was planted in 1768. The grapevine has one root, which is at least 2 feet thick. And some of the branches are 200 feet long. Despite its age, this vine produces several tons of grapes every year. Although some of the smaller branches are 200 feet from the main stem, they still bear the sweet and delicious fruit because they're connected to the vine. Life flows from that single root through the vine, bringing nourishment and strength to each one of the branches. And the branches can receive this, and the branches produce fruit. Isn't that something? Jesus promises to do the same for us. He is the true vine, bringing life to each one of the branches. The purpose of the vine is to bring nourishment to the branches in order that they may produce fruit. When separated from the vine, the branches wither and die. The vitality of our spiritual life is dependent upon our connection to Christ, the true vine. Friends, you've seen it in your own life, and I've seen it too. The time when we drift away and become indifferent to the things of God. Man, we don't get all pumped up and full of life and energy. We actually go cold and we die spiritually. I've seen this happen, that people just fade away because they are no longer connected to the vine. They are no longer connected to Christ. Each of us must answer these two questions. Are we connected to the vine? And is the life of Christ flowing through us? Secondly, if we are connected to the vine and we are joined to Christ, then how much fruit is seen in our lives? No fruit, a little fruit, or much fruit? Abundance of fruit. I love what John MacArthur said. Pastor John MacArthur says, you don't bear fruit by trying. You bear fruit by abiding. Okay? There are lots of people who are trying their best. We say in South Africa, they're trying their level best to produce the fruit, but want nothing to do with the vine. John MacArthur says, you don't bear fruit by trying. You bear fruit by abiding. This is what we told in John chapter 15. Friends, it does not do any good for you to try to produce fruit in your own life. If you are not abiding in Christ, and Christ is not abiding in you, guess what? No fruit. It's as simple as that. You can attend church, know all the words of the songs, know all the scriptures, quote them, and you can come here, and you can do good works, and you can give all your money to the poor, whatever. But if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is plain and simple, friends, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not abiding in Christ, and you are not connected to the vine, and you bear no fruit. I want to quote John MacArthur one more time. He said, God wants your life to be fruitful more than you want it to be fruitful. You see, right now God is looking at you and saying, I want the fruit to be more evident in your life more than you want it to be evident in your life. What a good observation. We don't produce fruit. He does. He produces it through us. We abide how? Through his word, through obedience, through prayer, through loving him, through loving others. And then comes the productivity. Verse 8 says, and then immediately verse 5, I just want to end with those verses. By this is my Father glorified, that you may bear much fruit. And then in 5, Jesus says, you know why? Without me, you can do nothing. Some people might say, wait, hang on, Keith, hang on now. The Lord doesn't quite know what he's saying, yeah? People do all kinds of things without Christ. People can raise a family without Christ. You can be a dad and a mom without Christ. You can give without Christ. You can do all kinds of things without Christ. So what is Jesus meaning here when he said that without me you can do nothing? This is what he means, friends. Without Christ, all we do is nothing to God. Do you see that? Without Christ, all we do is nothing to God. Without Christ, God is not impressed with your ability as a father and a mother and a son and a daughter. Without Christ, God is not impressed with your good works and your generosity. Without Christ, these are nothing to God. Remember where good fruit comes from. It comes from abiding in Christ, friends. It comes from abiding in Christ. Stories told of a man who decided to be a do-it-yourselfer. Is that how you say it? Do-it-yourselfer. Something like that. He went to a hardware store early one morning and he asked for a saw. The salesman took a chainsaw from the shelf and commented that this is the newest model with the latest technology, guaranteed to cut 10 cords of firewood a day. The customer thought it sounded pretty good, so he bought it on the spot. The next day, he returned to the store looking kind of exhausted. Something must be wrong with the saw, he moaned. I worked as hard as I could and only managed to cut 2 cords of wood. I used to cut 4 cords of wood with my old-fashioned saw. Looking confused, the salesman said, yeah, let me try it out in a pile of wood at the back of the store. The salesman plugged it in, pressed a button, and the engine started. The customer leaped back and said, what's that sound? If Dwight didn't teach me how to use a chainsaw, I would have probably been cutting it like this. Friends, just as an electric device is nothing without a power source, a disciple is nothing without his master. A servant is nothing without his Lord. A soldier is nothing without his commander. A body is nothing without its head. A Christian is nothing without Christ. Isn't that true, friends? The central theme of today's message is a theme of connectedness. You've got to be connected, friends. Friends, I have to realize that I am not the end product. Fruit is. See? I've got to realize that I am not the end product. Fruit is. The purpose of the grapevine is to produce grapes, not branches. As a Christian, I don't merely exist for the purpose of soaking up the blessings of the Lord and so on. I'm not here to just take it in and so on. I'm here in order that I may bear fruit. The reason I exist, the purpose God has given me in leaving me here is not merely to hang around and kill time. I am here in order that I may produce fruit, because that is the end product, friends. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because fruit is evidence of life. Fruit is evidence of life. Life in Christ. It is clear that it is Jesus' desire that we bear much fruit. I was just thinking last night about some verses where Jesus talks about, I am life and without me, you know, you are nothing kind of thing. And the one verse that came was John 10, verse 10. It's not on your screen. It's Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Isn't that so? And you know what's the evidence of having life, and that more abundantly, is the fruit in your life, friends. Because the fruit means you are abiding to the vine. You are abiding in Christ. And the word of God is flowing through you as nutrients. As nutrients, you are saturated your life in prayer. And that's what it's about, friends. Listen, let me just slow down. I'm going to end right now. Yellen said, I always say that, but I never do. If there's no fruit on the vine, we may question whether life is present. Isn't that true? The same is true in the spiritual realm. The best way of knowing whether or not you are in Christ, whether or not he is your Lord and Savior, is not by asking, can I remember the time and place when I asked Jesus to come into my life? No. We need to ask, what evidence do I see in my life that Jesus is producing fruit through me? George Whitfield, he conducted outdoor evangelistic campaigns in the 1700s during the period of revival called the Great Awakening. Thousands and thousands of people responded to the gospel. After one of his sermons, someone asked Whitfield, how many people were converted? He replied, we'll know in a few years' time. In other words, the passing of time would show which decision was superficial and which were genuine. Some would abide, some would not. Does that make sense? Without Jesus, friends, let me say this, without Jesus, you are as dead as a branch that has been severed. I pray that each one of us here place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Each one of us here, that we have looked to him for the forgiveness of sin. And that each one of us here is abiding in Christ, and Christ is abiding in you. With Jesus and in Jesus, you have the opportunity to produce much fruit that lasts forever. And it starts by abiding in him. Does that describe you, Christian? Do you know, for the last few weeks now, as on a Wednesday night, even before Christmas, we started this. We've been studying the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You love it when we ask you, Father, to prune us. We're not asking you to punish us because we're not good enough. We're asking you to take away that which shouldn't be in our lives. To remove those branches that are not productive. To remove those branches that are severed. That are taking goodness out of us without producing any fruit. Lord, you want us to ask you to do that. This is what we ask you, Lord, today. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the privilege to be connected to you, that we as branches can be connected to this, to the vine. Lord, I pray that you would help every Christian, Lord. Because when we answered those questions right at the beginning, we said yes to some of them. And you say, that's okay. You are connected to me, and my Father is pruning you. Help us, Lord, to abide. Help us to remain in you. not to be swayed by anything around us, the economy and politics and the COVID-19, Lord, not to be swayed by these things. They are happening. We can't change that. But Lord, we want to keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and finisher of our faith, the pioneer, the companion of our faith. We want to be connected with you. Help everyone, Lord, that we may not say, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. That, Lord, you need to help us. It's me, Lord, that I need to abide more. I need, Lord, to be connected to you. Father, help everyone, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.